Well, what we want to talk tonight on is godly relationships. That's Nikki's here. This is actually a talk that I'm using as a talk that me and Nikki gave at UF 2 years ago. So I want to talk about godly relationships, specifically the idea of men and women relating rightly and dating and all those things. I think this is important because it's on God's heart. Obviously, we go to Genesis, and what's like one of the first things he does? I mean, he creates the world, and then he's like, bam, relationship. It's one of the first things he does. What happened right after that is that sin entered the world. I think relationships are supposed to be very easy. And if any of you have been in one or been in and out of one or whatever, they can be difficult at times. And it wasn't meant to be that way. God created it. Adam woke up. There was his wife. It was supposed to be pretty easy. But because sin entered the world, now we have this like messed up process of trying to figure out dating and misreading signals and all that wonderful stuff. But I think it is possible to have Christ-centered, God-honoring relationships. And that's what I want to kind of focus on today. That's where the kind of the aim is that how do we relate rightly in such a way that it's Christ-centered and God-honoring? Because I think it is possible. Now, we can't turn to the book that Paul wrote to the singles in Philippians. You know, that just doesn't work that way. But there's a lot of principles I'm going to talk about. So I'm hoping not to say a bunch of like, here's my opinion, don't do this, do this. But more talk about a few principles to apply to our lives that will help us to keep Christ-centered and honoring God. This topic can be very, there's a lot we could say. We could go, it could be a whole weekend, and obviously I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be here for that long. But so I'm going to try to just do my best. I'll give you a few principles that I think mostly that me and Nikki have learned because we've made mistakes. I'm not up here speaking as like, hey, me and Nikki did it right. We made a lot of mistakes in our relationship before our relationship. So most of these principles kind of come out of like, what did we do wrong and how did we do it wrong and what would we do? And some things we did right. God has mercy. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So let me pray. Jesus, I thank you that Lord, you are Lord, even over this situation, or this this big topic in our lives, Lord, and just we might donate me. And I thank you that you are aware of our desires. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, you would just encourage us to make this another decision where you would be Lord over this situation, that you would acknowledge you. Have wonderful desires for us. And there's things we can do now, no matter where we're at in a relationship or something, to prepare us for ultimately a God honoring marriage. And so I just pray that we open the scriptures and speak to our hearts, Lord, and that we change us. Amen. it's a big topic. I mean, we're talking about, you know, when me and Nikki got married, we're talking about we get married until one of us dies. So it's a big deal. And it's under attack. I mean, if you think about it, really, this is one that Satan hates marriage almost more than anything, because if we look at Ephesians, Christ, it's talking about the husband and wife relationship. We're not going to go there because we could talk all night about that. But the husband and wife relationship is one that is supposed to picture the relationship of Christ and the church. And Satan hates that. So there's a reason why the divorce rate is just as high, 50%, in the church as it is outside the church. And so I wanted for us to know the seriousness, because I believe right now what you practice for in your single years and in your dating relationship is what you carry into marriage. And so because if you think about it, you probably will date someone you're a friend with. So right now in your singleness, you know, either you're relating to them. So whatever, however way you relate to men and women, you're seeing this, you kind of carry that over into your dating relationship. And then however you relate in your dating relationship, what happens is you take some of the same things and you bring them over into the marriage. It's not like, oh, we start treating each other well and we relate well now that we're married because we're done dating. That doesn't work that way. And so that's why I'm going to start with talking about in our single years principles to apply to have Christ-centered, godly relating between men and women, because that's going to carry over to a new date, which will then carry over to new marriage. And God wants to be the center of the marriage. God wants it to be honoring Him, and it is under attack. And so that's why I think it's a serious topic that we should all just not flippantly. And that's the and I'm babbling before I get to my points, but I want to emphasize, because the world wants to say just do whatever feels right, just go with the flow. But what there really is, that you're just practicing, like, once again, what you're taking to dating, what you're taking to marriage. So it's a big deal. Not that we have to be, like, super scared of this idea of, like, oh, now I have to date a girl or a guy. Scary. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say, let's honor God. And then in your dating relationships, even take them serious. Not just like, well, you kind of just bumped shoulders and now we're dating, you know. But because God wants you to have Christ as the Lord of that situation. And He wants to be the center, and it'll be honoring Him. So I think that's why this is very important. So the first point I want to... Our single years are so important, because they're really a gift, because you have them, you're single, and then you date or you get married, and you don't have them anymore. So it's a precious gift of time that you have to really invest in growing more like Christ, growing in your character, and learning to relate rightly, and exploring kind of who God's created you to be. Because once you're going to do a dating relationship, those are in it, you know that takes up a lot of your time. It's a wonderful thing, it's great, that takes your time up. But really, there's a lot of things you might begin to lose time on, that that you just focus on other things, which are good things. And then even in marriage, that when you're married, you even have less time to really grow your kid. I mean, watch your character really grow, because marriage, and then you have a kid, God seems to use those to kind of point out your sin pretty easily. But to really grow in those single years, they are a gift. And often, I did this, often we spend our single years thinking, where's my mate? Instead of thinking, God, what do you want to do in me before I find my mate? And so, and it's not bad to desire to be in a relationship, there's a good thing that God puts in us. But really, to see your senior years as a gift from God, because you don't have them forever, and you can use them to become more the person that God should be before you're in a relationship. So that's how I want to launch us into single years. So first principle in your single years, and how do we relate? Your guy, how do you relate to women in a God honoring, Christ centered way? Same thing with the women. And the first principle comes from John 13:34-35. Anybody got that? It's a TMS. John 13:34-35. Bam, hit it. It's all right. It's good. It's good. Yeah, this is Jesus. He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And so right here, Jesus is saying that the way people know that we're His disciples is because we love like Him. And so I think this is the first principle, as we relate men to women. I mean, this obviously goes in relating the same sex too, but as we relate in our singleness and friendship, love is to be the principle. It's to be the standard by which we live. That people would come and say, wow, that group really loves each other. Now, here's where it gets sticky. Is when, as we begin to relate, are we gonna begin to think of ourselves? Because often, I struggled in this. If I met a girl, I could be like, wow, I like flirting with her. It makes me feel good. So that's the way I'm gonna relate to her. And it's very Kyle-centered, not God-centered. And I really wasn't loving her. One example of this, I got the permission to share this. Not lots of mistakes, but I want to share one. There was a girl, it was my junior year here at Florida State, and new girl to Navigators, and she was my RA. I was around her. I just met her. It's like, okay, interesting person. So I started hanging out with her, started flirting, looked like we were in a dating relationship. I spent time with her, stuff like that. And, because it just felt like it just worked. It was like, she's on my floor, just works out, we spend time together. And I remember it was a couple months into relating with her. God, I was at this meeting. God, I was praying, and God doesn't do this often. He spoke very clearly. He said, "Kyle, I don't want you to date for a year." Now, just maybe that's never happened to me. That's okay. And I was like, I really battled with God because I didn't like that idea. It was my junior year. I was like, God, that means I can't date until like the last semester of my senior year. I'm going to find my wife. Like I had to take care of the business. I struggled back and forth. And I was like, all right, okay. God, yes. And then the next morning I'm doing quiet time. And God said, you need to go and apologize to this girl. I didn't want to. I was just like, all right, I'm not going to date. But he said, you need to apologize to this girl because it looks like you're in a relationship. You practically are dating. You know, you haven't said anything. You flirted. You treated her in such a way that you singled her out. So I didn't even know she liked me. I mean, you would assume the way we acted, it seemed that way. But I just did what felt right. You know, I was like, oh, whatever. God was, if you notice, God wasn't involved until he told me, hey, Kyle, you need to go apologize. Because I really wasn't asking God at all in that situation. Thinking how I felt, you know? And so went up, apologized, hurt her feelings. Oh, not the apology. The fact that I led her on and apologized for leading her on. And the word I want to use there is I defrauded her. Now, what I mean by that, defrauding is manipulating another person as to achieve your own selfish desires. Or to defraud someone means to arouse a feeling or desire in a person that you cannot be, that cannot be fulfilled. So I defrauded her. I God did not call me to date her, very clearly, but I had aroused that, and I had treated her in such a way that made me. And it was very Kyle centered, and it wasn't Christ centered, and it wasn't God honored, you know. And I say that because I have made mistakes. You know, that, there's an example. And so, and that wasn't me. If I were to met her and I say, all right, how do I love this person well? Probably like, I'll just relate to her, invite her in the group, and treat her like I would other women, and not just single her out in such a way that would make her feel like, hey, maybe he wants to, you know, we're acting like we're dating. Are we dating? Because I don't know if you've ever had that, you know, thought. You're like, are we dating? Because we sure are acting like we're dating. We're calling each other every night. We're doing this. But, you know, wondering, what is going on here? And God, I think God has a better plan. He would be God. He would be the center, and that we would love each other, not defraud each other. And so, I mean, the mistake often. I don't think all flirting is bad, but often we just flirt because it makes us feel good. You know, it's like, oh, guys do this, and I know girls do this too. It's like you flirt enough to feel like, oh, I've got someone interested in me, but I'm not going to do anything about this. I just want to know that I'm liked a little bit. And if I wanted to, maybe I could make this work. You know, who's that centered? That's Kyle centered, me centered, whoever is doing the flirting. And it's not loving the other person. And probably most of us are guilty of that at one or two different times or now. So I've done it too. You know, we've all been guilty at different times. But I just want us to think about, you know, when we relate to the opposite sex, how do I love? So I think it's putting their interest in front of ours. Philippians 2, 3, 4. Who has that verse? Another team has. Someone else? Aaron, you got it. So putting others' interest before ours, even. And so I think that is God-honoring, Christ-centered, and it loves people well, and that people would get around us, I think we'd all feel honored if it's like, man, I know that these people are loving me. They're not just flirting to make me feel a certain way. I want to also preface it this way. We're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And so don't beat yourself up every time. Just say, God, you know, I'm in the process. God, help me. And like I said, we make it didn't do it perfectly. I'll get to even more of our story. But I think that's the aim. The aim to love one another, thinking of each other before our own interests, before it. This makes me feel great, so I'm just going to do it. Some other things, I think guys maybe struggle with this a little bit more. But sometimes we get so scared about like relating to women, we just don't. So it's you're like, oh, that's kind of intimidating. But that's not loving them either. So I encourage you to, you know, it might be awkward just to like talk to girls, you know. Girls talk. They talk. They have no problem talking. You might want to make it easy for a guy. Give them like a softball toss. They can, you know, but so like ask them a question. They might know like, hey, what do you think about the football team? Or what's your, you know, just give them something easy so they feel a little comfortable. Because they might just like not even know what to ask you. Us guys, I don't even know what we talk about. But we somehow we hang out. But so just make it easy on them. Some of them. And so, I think moving toward each other is getting involved with each other's lives. Also, something, and I'm not sure this happens all the time, or even happening in this group, but don't just, if a guy talks to you, don't think, oh, he must like me. He's never talked to me before. Well, guys, same thing. If a girl talks to him, like, she must like me. It's just like, lower that a little bit so we can relate to each other rightly. And if you talk to her and then talk to a couple other girls too, she'll even have a less of suspicion. Like, he only talks to me every day, you know. Like, you know, loving the group of girls that were around, you know, the NAV women, stuff like that. It would be moving towards them out of love and talking to them. And that's, you know, it's crazy. So that's the first principle, loving. That love would be the standard by which we live. Second one is, comes from 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. Let me read that. I'm not sure if anybody has that one memorized. Okay, 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters, in all purity. So the second principle is that we treat each other in all purity. And it says in NIV, absolute purity. And that looks different because we'll talk about it a little bit differently when we talk about relationships, but when you're actually in a dating relationship. But I think part of it, it's just like in the idea of defrauding. I think if we defraud someone, it's not treating them with purity at all. Like, you might lead them on in such a way that they're not able to keep their heart pure from going in a direction or making them think they're in a relationship or not. Also, I think in your single years, fight the battle of purity. If it be struggling with thought life, pornography, you name it, it's not like, oh, if I get in a dating relationship, it's going to make me better. But in your single years, fight for purity. It's not like it's just going to get better later. Fight for purity. Marriages are falling apart across this country. And it's no different in the church because men and women, this area of purity, they brought it into the marriage. And this is so in your single years, ban friends around us, you know, fight the battle of purity. And so in your senior years, you can do that. You can focus a lot of attention on that. And as you relate with the opposite sex, that you have purity in mind. So something to think of is, like, if you're not dating them, you probably shouldn't be making out. That probably is like a good standard to live by. Because that's not treating them in purity at all. It's not honoring them. And women, if a guy wants to make out with you, you are worth more than that. No matter, you know, you are. And guys don't, you know, and I don't think a lot of this is happening with our guys, but just to say that's the standard we're looking at. They treat each other with purity. Third principle is that in your singleness, begin to live out of God's given design for your masculinity and femininity. And that's a big thing. I'm still learning that out. As it being now being a husband and a father, I'm like, what does it mean to be God? How did he design me? And then it's a topic we can go super in depth with, but we're not. But you can go to Genesis and see how, you know, God created man and woman, and he gave him a specific design to be feminine and masculine. And he began to explore that. So you go to the scriptures and you need to study those. You can read, I'd say read books, learn to become. I loved it. Last week I was meeting with a guy here and he said, I want to be a man. And I just wanted to applaud him. I was like, thank you. I'm so excited because that's a big deal. That because a lot of people, you know, just because they're 20, 25 doesn't mean they're a man. I mean, you're living out of God's design for a man and a woman. That's how we know we're men. That's how we know if you're a woman. Living out of his design. Guys, I think this means start to lead out, initiate. Initiating friendships, plan things for the girl. And y'all are doing this. Valentine's banquet, bam. Prime example. Y'all guys are doing a great job. I'm super excited about tomorrow night. Good job, guys. You get a big thumbs up. Do stuff like that. Just because one day God's going to want you to lead a family, and it's not like you all of a sudden start leading because you're in a family or have a family. He wants you to begin to do that now. And women, I think, I think we go back to Genesis, we see that God designed, I think we see God designed men to lead. And when God created Adam, he looked around and there was not a suitable helpmate. And that's why he created Eve, that she would be beside him, taken from his rib, that she would be beside him. And so women, I think a good area that you can explore and begin to grow in is to help, to be a helpmate to the guys, encouraging them. And y'all do a great job of this, but just remember that's part of what God designed y'all is to help. I mean, it doesn't mean y'all can't lead. Y'all can definitely get the leaders, but encourage them in when they're leading. Make them think they're the best thing that ever happened. Even though it might be, Nikki does this all the time to me. Like, I do, like, take out the trash and I think, you know, I won a gold medal. What it takes sometimes is, yeah, but and it makes me want to be more of a man. It makes me want to lead more. And so I remember when our undergrad, I don't even know if the guys had done anything. I can't remember. I remember we showed it Nav Night one night. And the girls had made a shirt that said "I Heart Nav Men." They all made it. They all wore it. They all just showed up in them, and we just thought it was the most amazing thing. We felt like $1 million, and we just felt encouraged, and we wanted to lead and serve and you know, initiate a relationship and all these things with the women, because they were there just encouraging us. Those are just, you know, part of our masculinity and femininity. But I encourage you, you're seeing us, to begin to explore that. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Because God has designed us, and you're seeing us. You got the time to really study these things and begin to live out those designs. The fourth principle is that, and this is the last principle for our singleness, is that we would focus on God being the source of our fulfillment. And this is the hard one in the single years, is to really to begin to say, God, you are the one where all my fulfillment comes from. If you want me to be single for a while, I want to be content and fulfilled in you, in my relationship with you. John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come to give life and life to the fullest. And he says, he's come, we can experience life in Christ no matter what situation we're in. Philippians 4:11, Paul's saying, in all situations I've learned to be content. If I have much or if I have little, I've learned to be content in all situations. Now, I'm not saying you cannot have a desire to be in a relationship, because that would be wrong. It is good to desire to say, hey, I would love to be in a relationship. But ultimately, wherever God has you, to say, God, I want you to fill my heart. Because what's going to happen, you're going to be in a dating relationship, and the same thing happens. You're going to be like, well, I just want to get married. That will fill what I need. Marriage. Then you get married. And then all of a sudden you notice, like, well, this is great, but I still have longings in my heart. And it's only God that fills that. And if you think a relationship's going to fix it, you are in for a rude awakening. Because you're going to marry a sinner who's going to hurt your feelings sometimes. And they're not going to be everything you need. Christ has to be. He's the source of all the things. So when you're singleness, begin to see that. And you're going to wrestle with that because it's great to want to be in a relationship. And say, God, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to run hard. Will you fill my heart with love for you? And that you would be, and it fills the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Because he wants to be it all, because he is it all. He is the all. So say you're doing this, you're single, in your single days, and you're applying some of these principles, you're making mistakes, but overall you're saying, I want Christ to be the center. I want to have a God honoring relating to men or women the way you designed in my singleness, because I want you to bring a mate one day. Focused on him, the fulfillment, relating well. Sooner or later, you're going to be relating well, and you're like, this person's a similar heart and a similar vision. What do I do now? So this is the transition from the single years. What to do then if you run into that, where it's like, it's not like, hey, I just rubbed shoulders, I'm going to pray about this. But no, that there's, you know, it's like, oh, wow, they've really got a similar heart. I think that, so here's the first step. First step is to pray and observe their character. Because character is of more worth than anything else in a person. Doesn't matter how pretty or how cute they look, how much they make you laugh, that does not go far. I'm telling you. Doesn't matter how many abs, they're going to go away one day. I'm telling you. They're going to go away. Sorry, Rob. Me and Rob joke about this all the time. I tell him this is what got me married right here. I don't have any abs. I'm a little overweight. Working on it. But character. So you begin to, you pray and you observe, God, is this a person maybe? And so you observe, you observe their heart, how they relate to other people. Do they look like they love people? Do they serve people? Do they talk about God and what God's doing in their lives? Because their character is what you're going to marry. You're going to marry the character, because that's what's going to happen in a couple years. And that drew me to Nikki. She also is beautiful. That also did not hurt. But I'm telling you, that's what matters. When the times get tough, the character and the relationship with God. So you got to observe. But you got to observe before you get in a relationship. Here's why. Because when you date them, that's as good as they're ever going to get. Honestly. As good as they get, because the guy's pursuing you, he's doing all the right things. And nothing he says is wrong. Maybe until after like 2 or 3 months of it, like, and then, you know, then you might disagree. But they seem to walk on water. They can do no wrong. And some of y'all guys and girls know this. You've got friends that are dating like losers, and you're like, what are you doing? They're like, he does no wrong. And you're like, the guy's a jerk. Holy cow. Because you've got these like rose-colored glasses that go on, and you just overlook everything. So you've got to observe the character of the person before the relationship. Because they're going to put the best foot forward. I'm telling you. Ask other people that know the person. Say, is this person really this awesome all the time? And because, once again, there's guys out there, and I'm sure there's girls. I know the guys because I knew guys better. They just perform for girls. All sweet and kind, and they're a jerk behind the door. I would warn any woman against that if she would ask me, what do you think about that guy? I was like, heck no. You know? But that's why you want to ask other people, because their character is who you marry. That's who you're going to marry. Not how good they look, how much they make you laugh. So they pass that test. You observe for a period of time. You've asked other people's opinion. Then you prayerfully enter a time of asking God, is it the right time? Because it could be the right person, but it could be the wrong time. And because timing is very important. 4 times in the Song of Solomon, it warns, it says, do not let love arouse or come to fruition before it is so ready. Because there's a timing for it. It could be God just wants you to ask at the right time so they like you back, maybe. It could be they're just not ready to grow up yet. They could have great character, but they don't want to work a job one day yet. And so you need them to let them grow up a little bit. And so timing is important. So asking someone else, is it time for me? Question also I like to ask is, how long do you really want to date? Because I'm going to tell you, if you are really in love with someone, you don't want to be dating for like 4 or 5 years. That is tough to hold back the waters of what God has designed behind, with our physical attraction to each other. That God did not design like this huge waiting period. Adam woke up, there was his wife. Enough said. They were married. I think that was God's design. To hold back the intimacy that, not just physically, but even emotionally, you want to go, is very hard if you're talking years. But like, if you're like, gung-ho, I'm not going to marry until I'm done with my PhD, you might want to wait a couple years before you really consider getting a relationship. Because it is so hard to hold back. And when I tell people, I've talked to multiple friends, and it's like holding back. You're trying to be like a dam when it comes to water in a river when you're engaged. It's like you're just holding back. You know you're going to get married, and it's like, God, please help us. I don't know. I want to be pure. You know, it is not easy. And so you want to, is it the right timing? Can we get married soon if this thing moves quick? Because you don't want to just date someone to date them. You want to date thinking, this could be someone I want to meet. And so timing is important. And you're asking other people, are we both mature to begin dating? You know, and I'm not saying you have to get like married right away. So like me and Nikki, I watched her. She doesn't like me saying that. We were friends for a long time. I'll put it that. We were friends for a long time. I started liking her my senior year, our senior year of college. sorry, babe. I started watching our senior year of college. Watching, once again, using that word. I noticed Nikki a lot more my our senior year. And I started praying, like, God, you know, what are you doing? So, and for about a year, we were just friends. And I didn't want to create, I didn't want to, like, make us, like, be best friends all. So I was like, God, if you want to do it, I want to do it in your time. Would you do it? And so over time, he brought us together. We'd have a lot of experiences together. And we really got to admire each other. Our friendship began to grow. So that to the point where right before I asked her, Nikki would say I was her best guy friend. You know? And I already liked her, so she was already, in my mind, the best girl for me. And I liked her for about a year. I was waiting, like, God, you know, is it the right time? But when I asked her, she didn't like me. I thought she was going to say no. It's okay. She wasn't allowing herself yet. Because once, it was only a matter of time. I mean, it was me. Come on. No. But the night I asked her, I honestly left. I was like, I think she's going to say no. She just said, what if I say no? That's all she pretty much said. What if I say no? So I waited for the right time. I had a lot of advice. And just so y'all know how it didn't turn out perfectly, we made a lot of these mistakes. We didn't really probably practice like loving well. We were very, and you can shake your head, we did not. We were very like, all right, now we've done all the right things. Now that we're in a relationship, what are you going to do for me? That's kind of how it came out. Like, now we didn't say that to each other, but it's kind of how we treated each other at times. So we ended up breaking up, mostly because I actually burned out from being in a ministry and was in depression. So that didn't help the relationship, obviously. But we broke up after about 8 months, 9 months. I'm trying to remember. So we broke up 8 months, yeah. And we were in love at that point. We had tried so hard in our own strength, doing it in our own ways. We prayed a lot about it, but we really were trying to do it on our own. We thought we were doing it the right way, and very selfishly. And then broke up for a year, got back together, dated for six weeks, and got engaged, and then got married after 3.5 months. So that second time was like 4 months when we got married. Now, once again, it's to say that, also to say, relationships look different all over the place, how they worked out, the timing of everything. Ours was not pretty at times, obviously. It was very broken at times. So I don't want, hopefully I don't paint the picture when talking about your shingles. This is the formula, because it doesn't work that way. God designs it differently, brings them into your life in different ways. It could move quickly at times, and it could be very slow. But you will make mistakes. Just to know that, but you resound to say, resolve yourself to say, God, I do want to follow you. I want to be Christ-centered. I'm going to make mistakes. Would you help me along the way? Would you? And I'm gonna try. I'm gonna make mistakes. Ask forgiveness. But we had to do that a lot. We had to, the night that we got back together a second time. We asked for forgiveness for a bunch of things. We kind of just like, I'm sorry. Or actually, it was 2 weeks before that. I think, or a week before that. I can't remember. I was praying about something. I was like, God, would you just kind of reconcile some things? We ended up asking for forgiveness out of nowhere. I was like, oh, the timing must be right. And we did not want to be dating. We knew when we started dating, I was like, we're getting married. And so we had to move quick. And I'm going to move real quick, and this is going to move quicker. When we date, I think the same principles come into play. When you're in a dating relationship, love is the standard by which you treat each other. You would think of each other before, and that person's just before your own. It's not about when I get out of the relationship. It's about how do I exalt Christ. It's the same thing in a marriage. A marriage is not about your happiness. A marriage is about the glory of God and that he would be exalted and honored. And that's what we're aiming for. So we practice in our singleness. We practice in our dating relationships. And so same principle, standard, moving toward each other in love, thinking of each other, serving each other. Second one, what's the second one? Remind me. Second principle. Fight for purity. Yeah. This is a big deal in the dating relationship. Make good boundaries. A good example of this is, I'm going to share it, babe. Huge deal. We decided not to kiss on the lips. And I said kiss on the lips because I'll get to that in a minute. I just knew. I knew that I would struggle in physically being attracted to him. He says, like, we're not going to kiss. So you know what we did? We got as close to the lips as possible. Like, this area is what we would, like, kiss on each other. Like, it was like, maybe we touched lips by accident at some point. We didn't ever know. But it was just like, but here's why. Because we wanted to go as far as we knew we were, like, the boundaries that we had. Our flesh would go. Our sinful nature drives you as far. It's the same thing with our little baby girl. She, Emmeline, knows there's like a couple places you can't touch, like the fireplace. Debbie saw it tonight. She was touching the bookcase. She's not supposed to touch the bookcase because she pulled the bookcase on her. And I don't know, that'd be bad. So Emmeline knows. You know how close Emmeline gets to the bookcase? She touches it too. And then we have to like say no and move her hand away. She gets this close when we're watching her because she wants to see how far can I go until I get in trouble. Whatever. So we made boundaries. Is it bad to kiss on the lips? Not at all. Don't hear that. I made that because I knew if we kissed on the lips, we'd be like, holy cow, okay, we made a mistake, we weren't going to go any far. If you say our standard is we're not going to have sex, well, guess what, you're going to push that as far as you can get. I can guarantee it. I've talked to NAF staff, it doesn't matter who you are. I've had friends say on NAF staff, they said, I can't believe I've done this. I've told students not to do this, and I've done this. You know, it doesn't matter how spiritual you might think you are. I'm telling you, make boundaries. Treat each other with absolute purity. Fight for it because it is worth it when we get married to know, hey, I'm walking in and we were pure and we fought for it. Because it's going to prove, especially for you men, it's going to prove to your wife that, hey, when I'm out in the workplace, I'm going to fight for purity. I'm going to mean it because you're probably not going to work with your wife and you'll probably relate with other people, but you're saying, I'm willing to fight for purity even, you know, when we are together, and it sure is going to happen when we're not together and there's going to be other people. So fight for purity in the relationship. Make boundaries that are not, hey, you crossed it, you were definitely in sin. Third one. That live out God's design for your masculine and feminine. And just begin to learn that more because you're beginning, like I said, you're practicing for marriage. You want to live out of God's design for you. The fourth one, once again, I've already mentioned it, about when you're in a dating relationship, it still will not be the end all. Even in a dating relationship, you're going to be like, well, you know, okay, if we just get married, it'll be better. God still has to be the source of your fulfillment. That's the way it's designed. I believe he's got Jeremiah 29:11. He just says he's got good plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope in the future. And I believe that God has a design for almost everybody here, I would assume, to be married one day. And he wants to be in charge of it. He wants to design it. But we have to be willing to say, God, you are Lord, and I want you to be the center, and I want you to be honored. And I practice now when I'm single, and I practice when I'm dating. And that's my hope for it. I honestly pray about this often because this is a big deal. I've seen a lot of people taken out of the race, running hard after God because they've some pretty or some cute guy got them distracted, and they're not walking with Christ anymore because it's like they made some decisions to say, you know what? I feel good. I'm a little fulfilled from this relationship, so I'm just going to go this way. And they've lost sight of Christ. And then in marriages and everything, it is godly marriages. That's God's desire. He designed them, and He wants them. And that's my desire. I pray for that. We think on this often. And so that's my prayer for you. So I'm a prayer. Hopefully this is helpful and applicable to your lives. If you have questions, me and Nikki are going to have to shoot out because mine's at home. And you know, we just want to get home soon. So they're going to worship after I'm praying. I'm done praying. Josh can help and he's going to lead worship. But you can talk to us at some point. We love to talk about relationships. Me and Nikki we love having people over and talking about that. Ours was not perfect. We usually talk about our mistakes, and then we say, "Oh yeah, we know that. We've done that before." That's how we usually talk about relationships. So we're not scary. We didn't do it perfectly. We made all our mistakes, but we want to honor God. We want you to honor God and give Him glory. So let me pray. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, that you know the desires of the hearts of people here, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you ultimately want to fill them and give them life. And I believe that you want to give a good thing of marriage to most people here, Lord. And would you teach us to find a fulfillment in whatever stage of life we're in? It be single or dating, or that we would know you and trust you, Lord, to bring that about in your timing. Lord, if there's mistakes that we're making in how we relate to men and women, if we are defrauding, if we are not walking in purity, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fight for those things and honor you. Lord, I just thank you for even the opportunity to talk about this. It's something I'm passionate about because I think marriage is awesome. And I want this for the students, Lord, to be Christ and your God on it. So I just pray that right now. I just pray that we'd have a great time tomorrow night as we have fun hanging out, or that you would be honored, that you would be glorified as we relate and love one another well. Thank you for this evening. Amen.